Hey everybody, welcome to the Indie Film Review. I'm Jared, and with me, as always, is my co-host Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hi.
That was like if it was your first time ever speaking, and you're trying to figure out how words work. He's like, hi, oh. But hey, good job. We're doing a great thing right now, shit. I think. Excellent yes, start indeed. To the podcast.
Yes, indeed.
So me and Dan are a little worn out or a little sleepy, depending on your perspective. And we're warming up, you know? We're getting in there.
Hi.
Oh, excellent. See, I think this second take was much better, Dan. People are going to think I don't really have a co-host, and it's just me playing sound bites of some weirdo. It's going to be very confusing. Anyways, this is a podcast where we independent. Ah, I've done that before. Where we review independent film. And boy, do we have a lot on our plate right now. We're trying to organize it and keep track of all the different films we've have requested, whether it be short films or
so what Jared's trying to say.
Full-length films. Yeah, go ahead.
We watched a independent film a couple weeks ago, and we're going to try to review it from memory.
Yeah. So we're trying to catch up on those things. We're trying to get more organized with future episodes that we have, because we have such a long list of films that we want to do. It's out of control. I mean, I'm happy that people are sending us their stuff, but also, I feel like we're letting everybody down. Because they're like, hey, where's my film that you said you're going to review? And I'm like, oh, I'm getting to it. I got a lot of films. And there's also films that we want to review, too. So I'm trying to mix those in. Certain movies like the film we're talking about today, Parasite. Yeah. We need to talk about Parasite now, because that film came out recently, and it's current events. So we're trying to stay on top of stuff like that. But yeah, the film we cover today is Parasite, which is Parasite. Yeah, I said it weird. a Bong Joon-ho original. Did I say his name right, Dan?
Bong Joon-ho, yes. Bong Joon-ho original.
What other films has he done?
He has done The Host. He has done a film called Mother. He has done Snowpiercer.
Oh, man, Snowpiercer. Okay, I've seen that one.
You've seen The Host.
Oh, yeah, I have seen The Host. You're right. It's just been a while. I remember enjoying that one.
It's fantastic.
I wanted to see Mother, but I remember a long time ago you told me, like, hey, you should... Like, I don't know. We had a conversation about Mother, and you told me the big twist about it.
Oh,
and I was
yeah.
like, God damn Whoops. It. I still want to see it, though. I think I'm still going to see it, even though I kind of know the twist already.
We covered it on our old podcast, Memories of Murder.
Oh.
I think that's my favorite one that he has done.
Oh, yeah. That movie was interesting. I like that one. So, Dan.
Yes.
Parasite 2019. What is it?
Parasite 2019, it is a film about poor people conning their way into rich people's lives.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's and then whenever they get there, they find out that they are not the only poor people who have conned their way into rich people's lives.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So, this film is pretty obviously about
social
different classes of society. And how...
Look, you're either rich or you're poor.
That's
no,
right.
Nothing in between.
And the people at the bottom, they should stay there, right?
Yes.
Well, no, let's talk about... I'm just kidding.
I'm not.
Oh, no. So, we have this family. We'll call them just the family. And then we'll call the other family the rich family, right?
So, yes, you have one family who is basically penniless. They're doing odd jobs in South Korea and getting like no money for it. Like they're making pizza boxes for a pizza place.
Yeah, yeah. And getting scolded by like a teenage girl that their boxes aren't that good.
Yeah.
And they live in a literal basement.
Yes.
Like it's like a subterranean little hovel that they have, and
that people keep pissing outside of because it's right next to a bar.
Yes. It's right, yeah, it's in an alley next to a bar where a dude keeps walking out there to go piss in the alley, but it's like right in front of their window, which is fucking hilarious. But what's interesting about this family is they seem to really care for each other and look out for each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're very tenacious.
Whenever you're that close to the bottom, you kind of have to.
Yeah. So we have this family who is, they're just barely scraping by, like we're saying. And they're tenacious. And in this film, they are compared to cockroaches in a way.
Yes.
To where, like, they won't go away or...
Bottom dwellers who are tenacious, yes. And you can't kill them no matter how many times you try.
But in a way, they do act like that. It's almost like if you don't think of cockroaches as a negative. Because I started thinking of it as like, oh, these people will do anything they can to succeed.
Yes.
And they're not going
to
give up.
Which is a good attitude to have, yeah. But they kind of do illegal things in this film.
Yes, it does get to a point where, well, sometimes when you're forced, it's almost like they're kind of forced to, in a way, because there's no jobs.
Yeah.
But also it's like, are these the heroes? I don't know if there's a clear definition of who the heroes are.
So
or villains.
Whenever I go ahead and break into one of the rich people in Tampa's houses, I can go ahead and tell the rich people that
you're
my
the hero.
Friend told me that as long as I'm doing anything I can to survive, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just like how these characters aren't black and white, okay? Like, they're doing bad things.
Oh, no, they're extremely nuanced. Like, Bong Joon-ho knows how to write. Just, he always has this really beautiful vision for characters, I think. Like, you end up caring about every single one of his characters. And he normally has, like, in The Host, it's a whole family. In this one, it's a whole family. He just has, like, this weird predisposition with families.
It's almost like he came from a family.
Right.
Huh.
Huh.
Strange. Maybe we'll explore that. Some kind of a family.
Family.
Family. Yeah, I like how he created these characters. He made them, like, awful and then also likable at the same time, where you're kind of like...
that's what The Host is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it makes it more realistic.
It's an extremely nuanced look at character studies, essentially. Mm-hmm. But all of his films are very entertaining character studies. I will say this one, though, was probably the slowest film I've seen from him.
Yes.
I want really badly to shit on this film because I was looking forward to it, and it did not deliver what I wanted.
Without getting to spoilers yet, the ending for this film really threw me for a loop, and I hated it when I first saw it, and then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, wow, that was actually a pretty fantastic ending to what I think is going on with this film, and I think it makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
So, for me to feel like that crazy range of emotions of just being like, I hate it, I love it, I don't know! I mean, that cannot be a bad thing. This film is definitely evoking something.
It's a very... I think what the issue with this film is the fact that it's paced so poorly.
Not enough couch fucking? Is that what you're
saying? Not enough couch fucking. No, it takes so long to get to the meat of the story because you have to set up the poor family, you have to set up the rich family, and you have to set up how... they intertwine and how they start to, you know, how they come to be in this one area.
Okay,
and
well,
that takes so fucking long that by the time we get to the cool parts, then I'm like, holy shit, it wasn't worth it to me.
Well, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Were you bored then during this film?
Oh, absolutely.
You were bored.
Yeah,
okay.
I was bored.
What sections? Was it mainly just the build-up, like you were saying?
Yeah, like I'm saying, the build-up basically is the big thing. Because if you think about it, there's two twists. There's the initial twist, in the, where we kind of figure out the dynamics of what's going on with who's mooching off of who. Mm-hmm. And then you have the big climactic fight scene, which we will talk about.
Mm.
That was, and you have a total of maybe 10 minutes of screen time.
Mm-hmm. It's not really a fight scene. Well, but you're making people think it's like an action. You know what I mean? Scene.
No, it's the scene that's the climactic and and involves violence.
Yes. Okay.
So, because they didn't get that much screen time and it just took so fucking long to get to anything remotely interesting that's not exposition. Yeah, I did not really like this film too much. It's a good film, but I feel like it could have been paced a little bit more intelligently, I guess. I don't know.
Well, most of this film is the poor family slowly integrating into the rich family to mooch off of them.
Yeah.
They are inserting themselves, whether it's the rich guy's driver, one lady becomes the maid, then they have the tutor for the young daughter, and then they have the other tutor for their son, and every single one of them is a part of their family. So it's like they're all family members infiltrating the rich family, pretending to be other people. And it's this huge plan that the younger brother has set forth in motion of like, here's how we can all get jobs, we can all get money, and by the end of it, you know, it's working out. Then of course a lot of complications happen, and if you're not gonna enjoy that, I thought it was really fascinating. I kind of liked the slow encroachment of the family into the rich family.
Well, okay, so if we take a look at the title of the film, Parasite, it's basically what you are looking at
is
this family kind of really starting to suck the blood out of another family. But he just has such an amazing track record to me, and this film wasn't up to snuff.
No, I can understand that.
It took too long, and then it left me wanting more, I guess, is the best way to describe it.
Did you have any other issues with the film?
No. Like, there's a lot of the film that I actually do like. But as a whole, I can't say that I would recommend this film. Like,
okay. How about on the whole?
On the whole, no. You got to take a film like The Host and then shove it really hard in there.
Oh. It's wiggly. Wasn't there like a weird tentacle monster in that?
Yeah.
There you go. Put that up your butt. I don't know. Anywho,
you said that like you were like solving a problem for me.
Yeah.
Go ahead and put that up your butt.
Dan, it's easy. Just put that up your butt.
It's like, oh, why didn't I think of that?
So, let's do some final thoughts and or recommendations, I mean, and then we'll get into spoilers.
Okay. I was going to say final thought. I'm like, dude.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant we're wrapping up the section of the podcast to get into spoilers.
It's wrapped up. Do we need to do anything else?
I'm gonna wrap your ass up. I like this movie. I thought it was good. I went from, like I said, kind of feeling like, I don't know, to I was like, oh, this is good. Now, would I go and watch this movie again? I think it would be kind of hard to do that. But I would recommend this to people to watch. I think there's a lot of stuff going on
that
I find
memorable.
Very interesting.
It wasn't memorable.
Okay. I can see where you're coming from.
I have seen so many other wonderful Korean movies that this, especially, like I said, he has set up an insane track record. Like, I even liked his film that he did before this, the Netflix original Okja.
Yeah.
I like that movie a lot. And it was exciting. This one, it was his attempt at a slow burn, and I didn't feel.
All right, so we're gonna get into spoilers right now. If you want to see this movie, Parasite, I don't know, it might be in theaters still, but go see it. Let's talk about, okay, so the poor family has infiltrated the rich family, right?
Yeah,
that has been fully established. They're in there. Yeah. Why don't we talk about the first big twist with that weird basement? All right,
so the first big twist, the rich family has a hidden basement that they are unaware of. Like, nobody told them about that whenever they first bought the house, but who does know about it is their current maid.
Yeah.
And the current maid needs to be fired and replaced by the family's mother. So they end up doing that. And the current maid has she's fired. She no longer works there. And then maybe 20 minutes later, she comes back into the house and you're like, what the fuck is she doing here? And she's trying very desperately to open the secret hatch that the basement is behind. And we find out that her husband has been living in the fucking basement for
years.
What is it? 4 years? Something like that?
He's on the lam, right? Isn't he trying to like avoid gambling debt or something?
That might be it. I don't know.
So the poor family is in the rich family's house while they're away. And yes, they are living it up. They are pretending they live there. They're having drinks
extremely expensive drinks.
Yes, and just using all of their stuff. And they're fantasizing about how, like, this should be ours, whatever, whatever. And then they hear the ding-dong. And then the former maid that they kicked out is soaking wet outside. And they let her in because she's like, oh, I need to get an item of mine or something. So she comes in and then she finds the secret passage. She opens it up and then they follow her down. And there's this great little scene where the new maid, who is the mom of the poor family, is like down with her. And mm-hmm. she's like, oh, please don't tell anyone that my husband, you know, is living down here, blah, blah, blah. And they're like negotiating back and forth. And then everyone else is on the stairs, the rest of the family, and they all fall out from the mm-hmm. stairs, and they like spill out into the floor. And she's like, what the hell is going on? Why are all these other people here? So then they record them. And then the whole power struggle reverses. She's like, well, I'm going to send this to the rich family and let them know mm-hmm. that you're all frauds. And then they start making them do shit like dancing mm-hmm. and like put their hands up in the air and like they can't put their hands down. And they're just fucking with them the whole time. And they're like, it's like having the codes to a nuke. They're like, if I just hit send, their whole lives are going to be ruined at any time. And all of this I loved. I almost thought for a moment the whole basement thing was going to be like, is the rich family like a bunch of serial killers? What's going on? Right. But I'm kind of glad it didn't go that obvious route and it went with this weird, like, other people are mooching off of these rich people.
Well, I mean, it introduces strange questions. Like, the rich people are portrayed as negligent and buffoonish.
Yes.
And the poor people are portrayed as conniving and intelligent, I guess is the best way to describe it. Like,
Tenacious.
They know the ins and outs of how to con and how to not get caught along the way.
Oh yeah. And it's hard to really take a side between the two. Like, right. I don't think this is a film about like poor people are mooching off the rich or like the rich are hoarding all their wealth and they're not, you know, like they're not helping people who are poor. It's really a commentary on all of this. It's the whole, there's no middle class. It's kind of what I'm feeling, you know, mm-hmm. like there's a problem here where these two dynamics, there's such opposite sides of a pendulum mm-hmm. that it causes problems like this. And, like, do you need to be a multimillionaire?
Yes.
Do you need to be a billionaire? Yes. Or, and then in comparison to people who have nothing.
No, so I don't want to have nothing. I want to have $1 billion.
Oh, okay. That's easy then. All right. We'll just fix that. Here we go.
Okay, thank you.
And we just put some zeros.
Jesus Christ. All right,
Dan, I'm going to put some zeros down on this paper. All right. I'm going to slide it over to you.
Are you going to put a one in front of those zeros?
No.
You can have as many zeros as you want.
Yeah. Aren't you excited? So they do eventually get the phones from the maid and her gambling husband. And then they like tie up the lady and they beat him up and they throw mm-hmm. him back down in the basement. And there's this whole scene where the entire poor family is hiding under a coffee table.
Yeah.
While...
Because the other family... Basically, the other family the rich went family out camping. Comes back. And they came back early.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And because I guess they were supposed to go on a camping trip and it got rained out.
Yeah.
So the little boy, he's obsessed with Native Americans. So he has this like teepee tent he sets up in the backyard, and he's like camping out there. But the rich parents want to watch him, make sure he's okay. So they're sleeping on the couch right where the poor family is, and they're underneath the coffee table, and then they start to have sex, mm-hmm. like. On the couch, and I'm just like, oh no.
At this point, also, well, I think it's mentioned beforehand, or maybe it's only mentioned at this point in the movie.
The smell?
But they start talking about the smell and how it smells like the new driver, which is the dad yeah. of the family, the patriarch.
And how he stinks.
And they talk about how he stinks, and they have a very faint smell, and of course, he's there.
Yeah.
So they're actually smelling him. But that little comment kind of sneaks up into the dad's butthole and lays an egg.
A little thought egg.
A little thought egg. And he's like, well, I don't like the fact that people think I smell. And that kind of just gets exacerbated as the film goes on. Like, he gets more and more offended
yeah.
by the concept that these... Like, he kind of, he gets offended by his own thought. Like, he's thinking that, oh, they must be so rich that they're looking down on me.
Yes, that's the whole thing of, like, the rich looking down on yeah. the poor.
But that's not necessarily the case.
No.
He, like I said, he makes that the issue, and he starts believing it more so than the actual mm-hmm. or rich family is mm-hmm. treating him.
Do you think the Native American thing was an angle, too, with this film? Do you think it was very intentional?
It had to have been, because Morse code was intentional.
Yeah.
So...
They just had a lot of stuff going on with that. I'm trying to think, like, what could that compare that to? I mean, you know, Americans kicked out the Native Americans. And then... Force them to relocate. I don't know. That's not really what's going on in this film, though. There might be more to it there. I don't know.
Probably.
Maybe some other people who have seen it can comment to us and tell us what's going on with the Native American angle.
I honestly don't have the fucking wherewithal to even care about it.
So it wasn't something you even tried to think about.
Don't. What?
So it wasn't something you even thought about while watching?
I mean,
like, yeah, Native Americans. I don't know.
Yeah.
What did you think about, so when they finally escape the poor family, their entire house gets flooded and yes. then they have to live in a fucking shelter. And that's when I started thinking like, oh, the former maid and her gambling debt husband, they lived in a basement and the poor family literally lived in a basement. Like, so there's like parallels between them mm-hmm. and they're both mooching off of this rich family.
Yeah.
And then there's this whole line where the dad, they're in the shelter, and the dad is like, hey, if you make plans, that's bad because yeah, plans can fail and plans can go wrong. So if you don't make any plans, then you're safe in life because nothing can go wrong for you. And I kind of thought of that as like a commentary of trying to succeed,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to better yourself. Because
you can't fail if you don't try.
Yeah, and usually you hear the opposite of that, you know, of what the dad was saying, where it's like setting goals for yourself is supposed to be good and all that stuff, and like trying to get to
climbing to the top of the corporate ladder.
Well, I mean, kind of, but like personal goals or whatever. There's a lot of different goals you could set for yourself, but I thought that was really interesting about like
how far can I get this up my butt.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Because like the poor son set this plan into motion to have his entire family infiltrate the rich family. And it was going really well, but also that has ultimately failed. And then them dealing with the maid and the gambling debt husband, that has failed because, big spoilers, they accidentally kill the maid, the former maid.
Yes.
And that drives the gambling debt husband insane. He goes crazy.
Yes.
the fucking sun, he has this damn rock. It's like this Lucky Charm rock they got at the beginning of the film.
It's a gigantic rock.
Yeah, and he's like cradling it and like being weird, and he's gonna use this rock to smash in the head of the gambling debt guy.
Yes.
And I'm like, this is getting really extreme. And of course he completely fails because he set a plan in motion, and what do plans do?
They fail.
They fail, apparently, according to this film. So during a birthday party for the rich son,
yes,
and it's like Native American themed, they have the gambling debt guy emerges from the secret basement with the rock and just starts to fucking try to kill everyone. He is going insane. We haven't even mentioned like the Morse code or like how the gambling debt guy would manually turn on lights for people in the house. Mm-hmm. And to make them think that they're motion detector lights, which is really crazy. Or there's so many like weird aspects of the film we haven't touched on. That's why, right, I think it's like worth a watch, honestly. But how do you feel about this climax? This whole, you sound like Beavis and Butthead or something.
I feel like it's sticky. I mean,
oh,
wait,
God.
What?
I hate you.
So it's all the roads are leading up to this gigantic bloodbath that happens in the rich people's backyard.
Mm-hmm.
I like the bloodbath, but overall, to me, it was underwhelming.
Gotcha. In what sense?
The what ends did you want did to not see from justify the means. Like, oh, it was okay. Not as it wasn't as big of a payoff as the movie was making me anticipate.
I thought it was strange that a lot of the poor family got hurt. I mean, I think the daughter dies.
Yeah.
From a stab wound. But the rest of them kind of, they're fine. I think they
yeah.
They get caught.
The mom and they get caught. The dad of the poor family goes under the basement, the secret passage.
Yeah.
And he starts to live down there.
Well, because he goes crazy and stabs the rich dad.
Yeah.
Because he's tired of smelling bad, I guess. He goes a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But I think the whole thing that ties all this together is the son, at the very end, he's like fantasizing. He's like, I'm going to get rich enough so that eventually I can buy that house. Because they moved out of that rich house because of all the fucking carnage. And then when I buy that house, all my dad has to do is walk out of that basement, and then he'll be safe again. You know, like, because he's still on the run, but nobody knows he's down there. And it's this, like, sentimental thing of, like, you know, I'm just going to work hard. I'm not going to try to grift. I'm not going to try to cheat and steal and scrounge my way or whatever and just try to earn a living. I'm going to earn a living the right way, you know, and like, do it the way, I guess, the government or whatever. Like, I'm going to get a job and a degree and all that stuff, and he's fantasizing, and then it shows like him, he's rich, oh no, he's rich, and he did it, and he bought the house, and his mom is there, and they're in the front yard, and his dad is slowly walking out, and then you think, is this the end of the movie? And then, oh, you just got fucking tricked, because all of that was a fantasy in his head.
Yeah.
And none of that will ever actually happen.
Yeah.
I loved that. So at first I thought the film was like, He did it. He became rich. And I'm like, oh, that's lame. Like, that feels like he didn't even earn it. Like, it just, okay, we're going to cut. And now he's rich. Like, what the fuck? I loved how it was like, no, here's the reality of their situation. And of what, like, probably a lot of people are stuck in. Being super low class. That's not the right word. Of, like, a lower income. And right. And not being in that middle class area where it's more comfortable to live, or even a higher, whatever. But, boy, I think this movie has a lot going on.
Yeah.
I definitely am not fully qualified to talk about economics in terms of upper
South
middle
Korea.
Class. Yeah. And especially with South Korea, I don't fucking know. I can only compare it to like what's going on in America. And that's the type of stuff that was resonating with me. And I don't know what the goal of the film is. Maybe to make you feel more sympathetic for everybody, just for people in general.
Maybe, yeah.
Regardless of their economic status.
Status.
But it's like shining a light on, like, here's how different people are living. And maybe it's saying we should do something, maybe it's not. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe we're at war with Norway. I don't know, man.
Maybe we're at war with Norway.
All right, final thoughts, Dan.
Final thoughts, Jared. Watch The Host.
Watch The Host.
Memories of Murder. I don't know. I can't bring myself to recommend this movie.
You cannot recommend it. Damn, okay. All right. I certainly recommend this film. I think it is excellently shot. I like the music. I like everything about the way this film is constructed. It is certainly a slow burn. It is way more of a family drama than anything else. Mm. But I liked it. I thought it was good, guys.
Please find us. Where are you going to find us? On Twitter.
That's right. That's
at
right.
Indie Film Pod. On yep. Instagram. At Indie Film Review Pod. Tell people about us. Then email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. Then tell more people about us. Then go check right. out the Necropodicon Network.
It's then, like a Ponzi scheme.
Yes. Then go tell more people about us. And then find us on Podbean
yep.
and Facebook.
That's right. So, like, if you tell two people, and those two people tell two people, and then those two people tell two more people. See how it keeps building and building and building? And then, eventually, we'll make money. And that's what
if
really matters.
You sleep with one podcast. You are sleeping with all the podcasts that that podcast has slept with.
But only consensually. Hey, no one's forcing you to get on that couch. Okay?
Or under the couch, for that
matter. Or under the coffee table. Whatever you're into, we're not judging. All right, guys, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Definitely tell people about the podcast if you like it. And I thank you. Thank you for listening again. Dan, you have the final word.
Parasite.
Parasite.